are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, September the 16th. And Joe Johnson joining the squad. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Joe Johnson, who joined the team at the end of last week. I'll have my thoughts on it, and we'll also put it into some larger context for the Pistons coming into training camp, which begins on October 1st. I'm also going to pass along the official news on the Grand Rapids Drive coaching staff, and then we're going to hit the voicemail lines to hear what you guys think about Joe Johnson. A couple interesting calls from you guys that came at the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Call anytime. Leave us a message, and we'll play most of those on the show. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But as we mentioned, at the end of last week, the Pistons signed Joe Johnson, who's a borderline Hall of Famer going forward. Pistons also released Michael Beasley, although that's not really completely accurate, as he was apparently never under contract. But I have to say, as much as I didn't like the move when it was reported that he was going to be working out for the Pistons last week, the fact that they released Beasley, quote-unquote, made me feel better about the signing, that they're, you know, they're not running back the entire 2004 McDonald's All-American team or something like that with Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin thrown into that era of mega high school stars that had NBA careers that went every sorts of different ways as you look at these guys. Like I said, Michael Beasley reportedly never actually signed a contract, which seems like an oversight. I wonder what happened there. Was that something that was overreported? The fact that they came to an agreement, was that not really true? Or what happened behind the scenes with the Michael Beasley situation? Maybe we'll hear about that in the future. I have reached out to his agency. Maybe the agent messed up. I kind of doubt that. That's something that seems like, you know, he's with one of these very, you know, influential groups of agencies. Tandem is what it's called. And I have a feeling that it wasn't something that was a paperwork situation. Maybe the Pistons changed their minds after coming to a preliminary agreement, or maybe there was a little bit of a settlement. They received some money or something like that. Not sure. But be that as it may, maybe we'll hear something in the future about what happened there down the line. We know that Michael Beasley would have had a four-game drug suspension and will have a four-game drug suspension if he returns to the NBA with somebody at some point. But as it stands right now, the 38-year-old Johnson heading back to the NBA for now under a training camp deal, and will try to become an NBA player once again. 6'7", seven-time All-Star, like I said, 38 years old. Made those All-Star teams in the lowest of the low of the Eastern Conference. That's kind of worth noting when we're talking about All-Star appearances. Bobby Marks of ESPN reporting that it is a partially guaranteed deal of $220,000 guaranteed with $2.4 million due, that guaranteed due on January 7th. So it might be interesting to see if he gets kind of a half a year tryout and what the Pistons might do with that roster spot after that. In his 17 seasons, Johnson averaged 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists, and has been a 37% three-point shooter throughout his entire career. Now, shaky in his last couple of seasons. Also worth noting that Joe Johnson did not play in the NBA last year. That's a red flag. More on that later. But Joe Johnson, overall, one of 48 players all-time to score 20,000 points in the NBA, 46th all-time on the career scoring list. And right now, he's number 5th on the active career scoring list behind LeBron James, Vince Carter, Kevin Durant, and Pau Gasol. So that's assuming that Pau Gasol does return with Portland this year. He has signed a contract, so no reason to believe he won't. But, I mean, with his injury history, who knows? We know that Kevin Durant actually probably won't play this year, but he's still one of the active players in the NBA. Another thing to throw in there is that Carmelo Anthony, you know, his name is already out there with kind of every opening. There's kind of some buzz, seems like, that maybe he ends up with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see about that. But if he comes back, obviously he becomes the second all-time active career scorer, so Joe Johnson would fall back to sixth on the active list. But we're gonna call Carmelo Anthony not active for the purposes of these conversations right now. Joe Johnson most recently played in the Big Three and was the MVP of Ice Cube's three-on-three league. He led that league with 21.9 points per game and 3.9 assists. Seems silly to pass along Big Three statistics, but that's where we are right now with the Detroit Pistons. And by the way, just want to get this out of the way, I have a bad habit of calling Joe Johnson Joe Jackson. I have not done it yet on this show, this episode yet, but you can look forward to me messing that up in the future, and we'll just roll with it. If you ever catch that on a podcast, be sure to point it out, and we'll give you a free retweet if you're the first one to point out that I screwed up the Joe Jackson, Joe Johnson numbers there. But Reggie Jackson, Stanley Johnson, and things are kind of confusing for an older man like myself with the NBA sometimes. But we also want to pass along the news that the Grand Rapids Drive made official what has been reported over the past few weeks, that Donnie Tindall, the former Tennessee coach who left in disgrace and was fired by Tennessee. Now, we know the NCAA is a whole different animal than the NBA and the G League, but he is taking over the Grand Rapids Drive as the head coach. And they also, with that announcement, announced the assistant coaches for the Grand Rapids Drive, most notably Courtney Alexander, the former NBA player that you remember was the 14th or maybe 13th pick of the draft, late lottery for the Orlando Magic, had a disappointing three-season NBA career. His son actually played collegiately and shot free throws underhanded. I covered him in a game against the Michigan State Spartans last year. I wonder how Courtney feels about that, the underhand free throws, something that gets tossed around, especially with Andre Drummond's historic struggles from the free throw line before these last couple of seasons, where he's bounced back a little bit there. But would be interested to know if Courtney Alexander, if that's something he would recommend to NBA players who are struggling from three. The other assistants for the Drive are Cam Black, who played collegiately at Bowling Green, came up as a coach with the Atlanta Hawks with their NBA and G League operations, and also Jacob Porter of Morehead State, who came up as an intern with the Erie BayHawks of the Atlanta Hawks umbrella, also was an intern with the Grand Rapids Drive and Detroit Pistons. So you kind of love to see that guys kind of working their way up the ladder as interns and getting opportunities there. But no, also notable that Cam Black and Jacob Porter, like I said, both with Atlanta Hawks connections. My guess is that they were probably came through Malik Rose, and with his background with the G League operations with the Atlanta Hawks, that this is something that Malik Rose has came along in his role as assistant GM, kind of in charge of player development, that it seems like Malik Rose is kind of in charge of the Grand Rapids Drive, for lack of a better way of putting it, that he's basically the general manager of the Grand Rapids Drive when all things are kind of said and done. But anyway, Peloton, can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience. I'm excited to try these guys at some point. They got real-time features that will always keep you coming back. The guests, the hosts of the workouts, the interactivity with everyone, your friends, and all that good stuff. A great product that I've heard great things about from friends. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike, and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. Up next, I've got some thoughts not on Joe Jackson, but on Joe Johnson. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir! All
right, a little bit later on, we were going to hit the Google voicemail line to find out what you guys think about the signing of Joe Johnson. I wanted to talk about it a little bit more with you guys here. My opinion, what do I think? He didn't play last year at 38 years old. Not only is he older than me, he's older than me by a year and a half. He's the only player on the Pistons who's older than me, and that makes me feel normally you go through life and things like that happen. You're like, man, I feel old. That makes me feel like Joe Johnson's old, because I know how old I am. I know how tough it is to get back in the groove of working out or being physical or playing a little pickup basketball or something like that. Joe Johnson's basically going to have to do that. And I know it sounds ridiculous when you throw out comparisons to your own life compared to those of professional athletes, but taking a year off from playing professional sports is almost like more, it's more extreme than what we might do, because you got to get up to that level of being a professional athlete. Now, that's not to say that Joe Johnson was sitting around drinking whiskey and eating crap all week, like, or all year, like we do here sometimes in the Locked On Pistons podcast studio, which is my apartment. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough sledding for him to play an 82-game season. Now, I've seen a lot of people, there's been some, whenever things like this happen, there's overreactions on each side. In Twitter of the Joe Johnson signing, people are throwing around numbers like he'll play 20, 25 minutes a game. That's not going to happen. Is he going to be, if he makes the team, will he be the 15th man on the roster? I don't necessarily know if I agree with that either. I think there will be times where his number will be called. I mean, you don't bring on a 38-year-old guy to literally not play at all. I mean, we've seen the parade of old all-stars that have joined the Pistons over the last decade or so. I'm thinking Tracy McGrady about that. I mean, those guys, they got a little bit of run. He's going to get some time. There will be times that he gets leaned on a little bit. What's interesting about this is, on the very surface of it, you have two guys under non-guaranteed contracts coming into training camp, and that's Joe Johnson and Christian Wood. But given that you've got still that glut of two guards, and I know that Joe Johnson is not a two guard. He's a small forward. He's a wing. I think he's more of a four than a two in today's modern NBA, and we know that what's your number is 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 is more about who you defend than who you are as an offensive player. And Joe Johnson, there's just not a lot of guards that Joe Johnson can guard anymore. So that's kind of where he's at right now. So, like I said, on the surface, it's that 15th spot in training camp, Joe Johnson and Christian Wood. You've got Jordan Bone and Lewis King, who are locked into those two-way contracts. You'll see them with the team at some point during the season. And then you have the Exhibit 10 contracts with Todd Withers and Dante Hall that are basically glorified G League maximum contracts that those guys have. So they would have to be transferred to something else if they become Pistons, but it gives them more of an more money for them to stay with the organization. So that's the incentive for those guys to be on that. But yeah, I think that if you're talking about Joe Johnson and Christian Wood, a guy who a lot of people, for good reason, like the potential of as a front court player, if both those guys are going to stick around, the discussion then becomes who do the Pistons get rid of? Do they waive Khyri Thomas and get rid of that whole pretty much experiment of a second round pick from a couple years ago? Or do you possibly trade or waive Langston Galloway or stretch him, which it doesn't seem like a good idea because then you're dealing with the salary cap ramifications going into next season when you want to do a little bit more of a reboot with what you have. Now, that being said, maybe that is a reasonable way to use the cap space that you'd have in 2020 is to consider stretching Langston Galloway. I haven't really thought about that and haven't crunched the numbers on it, but more likely that he's a possible buyout candidate, that you just take the salary cap hit, you keep Khyri Thomas and have that $7 million that you'd give Langston Galloway to walk away, would possibly be that that what you would have to pay to keep Khyri Thomas on your roster spot. So Langston Galloway, who knows? You know, maybe that $7 million becomes more valuable as the trade deadline looms as a piece that you could move in an expiring contract. But as we've noted on this show many times before, the 2020 free agent class next summer is very, very bad. It's barren. So there's nothing there that really leads you to believe that it's going to be super valuable like maybe some other years that expiring contracts would be. The other 14 guys on the other group of guys on the roster, Pistons bring in Markieff Morris, Derrick Rose, Tim Frazier, and Tony Snell as free agents slash trades this year. In Tony Snell's case, Sekou Doumbouya is the first-round draft pick. He's on the roster. And you got holdovers from last year in not only Khyri Thomas and Langston Galloway, but you got Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, Thon Maker, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Luke Kennard, and Reggie Jackson as well. So Joe Johnson, though, what's the expectations for him? Will he make the roster? I got to believe he's going to have a shot at making the roster, no doubt about that there. But and like I said, my negative opinion on having Joe Johnson come in is softened by the fact that they got rid of Michael Beasley, and this just isn't turning into a parade of has-beens here to the NBA Pistons organization. But no, I don't think it's a great thing for the Pistons to bring in Joe Johnson overall. It's a marginal move. This isn't something that, since I'm coming out softly negatively against this move, that doesn't mean that it's going to doom the Pistons or it's a big deal or anything like that. We're talking about the last kind of decision that you make about the roster. It's not going to make or break the season. But no, I don't think the Pistons should be making a habit out of bringing players that are 38 years old and 1 year away from the NBA and tore up the big three and bring them into the NBA. So I don't have high expectations for what Joe Johnson will deliver to this team this year. Hasn't really shot the three the last couple of years of his NBA career, 27% in his last year. I know that he was over 40% the couple seasons before that. It's an insurance policy. If Tony Snell doesn't work out, if Sekou Doumbouya is not NBA ready to play at all this year, which is certainly something that's on the table. It's a guy who has always kind of been unathletic, especially towards the end of his NBA career in Joe Johnson. So the fact that he's going to get slower and even more unathletic, on one hand, it could be he's kind of dealt with that throughout his career, so that won't change much. But on the other hand, there comes a point where you're just not athletic enough to play in the NBA, and we'll see if Joe Johnson's at that push right now. He's a guy that has had some playoff success, knocked out Blake Griffin and the Clippers in a 7-game series with Utah, floater after floater in that one. That was the last playoff series that Blake Griffin would play with the Clippers. So Joe Johnson's got some history there with the Pistons' best player. Had a good playoff run in 2014 with Brooklyn as well, beating Dwayne Casey in Toronto in an upset. And I believe that Vince Ellis reported last week that Dwayne Casey had a lot to do with bringing Joe Johnson aboard, believing in maybe the veteran presence in the locker room and all that kind of stuff too. One of the more high-paid players of all time, made over $200 million in the NBA, and a former client of Arne Tellem, which we know has we have a bit of a checkered past with that as far as this show and our opinions on it, is the fact that Arne Tellem has some former clients on the Pistons. Obviously, Derrick Rose famously in that category as well. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that Arne Tellem using his connections to improve the Pistons, or is that kind of doing some favors for some old friends who might not otherwise get those kind of favors? I think we kind of all agree, however you feel about Derrick Rose as a Piston, that just the contract that he received was a pretty fair one and a pretty good one for the Detroit Pistons for a guy coming off of a pretty good season with Minnesota. But with Joe Johnson, and we know that he was doing workouts with other teams, maybe there was a little bit of a bidding war, and maybe that prior relationship with Arne Tellem and Joe Johnson played a part in him coming over to the Pistons. But, big picture, I'm not a big proponent of this move. I don't love it. But again, not something that's going to make or break the Detroit Pistons season. And if they find that this guy's washed, I think most importantly for this going forward, give him some preseason minutes. Give him a lot of run in training camp. Get those legs all worked out. Obviously, you don't want to be irresponsible and thinking of the long term for him. But before you make that roster decision as to whether you're going to commit to him as opposed to one of the other pieces that we talked about that could possibly be on the 15-man roster, really put him through a little bit of a grind and really see what he's got. Put him up against some real NBA players in those preseason games. Get him in one-on-one matchups against some of the quicker players on the Pistons. Not the Jordan Bone types, but the quicker wings, guys that he might possibly be able to go up against in the NBA, and see how that goes. Throw him in the fire and see if Joe Johnson's able to overcome that and show that despite the fact that he's 1 year out of the NBA and 38 years old, that he's not washed up. And we'll see kind of how that all works out. And then, of course, if you decide to stay with him and go with him on the roster, then be smart about managing his body than they're going forward. So that's my thoughts on that. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. And our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Go ahead and email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line to hear what you guys think about the Joe Johnson pickup for the Detroit Pistons. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
What's up, Matt? It's Brandon from Sterling Heights. So the Pistons just added Joe Johnson and waived Michael Beasley. And now I'm looking at the offseason as a whole. I see the Pistons have added a bunch of reclamation players this year. Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley, now he's waived, Joe Johnson, Markieff Morris, just a bunch of players that seem to be out of their prime. So my questions are, and I'm going to keep this under 2 minutes, I promise. My questions are, do the Pistons really think that adding these veteran players to the bench is that really going to bring our team? Do they believe it's going to bring our team to Eastern Conference Finals contention? Or are the Pistons just trying to make Detroit look like a more free agent friendly city?
Thanks again to Brandon from Sterling Heights for the call. Really appreciate hearing from you. To his question, I just think that there were too many developmental projects for the Pistons, and we've heard Ed Stefanski talk about this in the past. You got Bruce Brown, you got Kyrie Thomas, sorry about that, Svi Mykhailiuk, and of course adding Sekou Doumbouya, who's even a bigger project type of player that the coaching staff needs to work with. You can throw some of the two-way guys into there. You need veterans on this team. You need guys that can reliably be able to play in the rotation, in playoff games, in big important stretches. And when you have the free agent budget that the Pistons had this past offseason, you have to take something players that there's something wrong with, whether it's injury history, whether they're coming off of some bad situations, because there's reasons that these guys aren't getting high-dollar deals. So I think it's kind of a necessary evil. And like I said, Ed Stefanski's talked about in the past how you can't just load up with more and more young guys. You go to a Pistons game an hour early, you'll see Svi Mykhailiuk and Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown, and you can throw Sekou Doumbouya into that mix now. Guys that are going to be working on the things that guys in their early 20s or late teens, with Sekou's case, need to be working on a day-to-day basis so that they can grow their games and become more impactful NBA players in the future. So, and as far as becoming more of a free agent destination, I guess that's possible. I think that maybe a guy like Blake Griffin would probably prefer a locker room with a couple more of his peers, guys who he can relate to on a professional and personal level, as opposed to kids, the guys that are 10 years younger than him or close to that amount of ages, and might be something that might be more attractive for veterans in the future as well. So kind of a two-pointed answer to that there. Let's go to the next call.
Hey, Matt, this is Keith, originally from Michigan, currently in Florida. Originally, when I saw the signing, I wasn't excited about the Joe Johnson signing. Then I thought about it a little bit, and I could see the positive being in practice, him being able to kind of put it on Luke and Svi. Kind of show them what it takes to be a successful scoring wing player in the NBA. I don't know how much of a mentor he is. Hopefully he can actually mentor those guys and help them improve. That's the positive I see. The negative is he'll probably end up playing about 10 to 15 minutes a game, which isn't a lot. But those 10 or 15 minutes that some of the younger guys that we were hoping could get more minutes a game, he'll be taking minutes from those guys. But, particularly speaking, if you're banking on your back, 10 or 5 or 10 guys on the roster to help you out, you're really not planning on having a lot of success. So that's why, to me, the way that you look at the signing as a good one. And just hoping that he's able to help out Luke and Svi and maybe even Kyrie, the shooters, to become better NBA shooters and figure out what it takes to be successful wing scorers in the NBA.
Great points by Keith out there in Florida, and I'm going to let him have the last word on this show for today. So this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks again to all the callers. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks for spreading the word as well. Give me a follow on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, or another underscore for that. And also on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. So thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.